You're listening to the No BS Nutrition Podcast. I'm registered dietitian Hannah McGee.
And I'm neuroscience PhD student Tariq Youssef. And for the next hour, we're going to tackle popular nutrition topics from a scientific lens, promoting fact over fiction with no BS. Welcome back, everybody, to No BS Nutrition. This is another episode with yours truly, Tariq Youssef, PhD student of neuroscience, and...
and registered dietitian Hannah McGee. Welcome!
Welcome, welcome. I'm double masking these days.
Are you?
I thought I'd throw that out there at the beginning.
How's it going?
It's going well. Nothing smells worse than a surgical mask, like fresh out of the box. It's truly one of the most putrid smells in the world.
That is so true. It's just like, it's like weird because it's obviously sterile. Like it's like a sterile smell. But it's like disgusting because it's sterile.
I know. It makes you think like, oh my God, is that my breath? Like, am I a monster?
God,
you know what I mean?
That's the worst. Like that's when you have a mask on and you're like, is that me?
Is that me or the mask?
Yeah.
Hashtag me or the mask. Yeah. So that's kind of been my like, that's been my COVID story recently. Yeah. Haven't really been ordering in as much as I want to, but.
Oh no. How come?
No. I guess I feel a little bit guilty spending the money.
That's fair. Yeah.
Yeah. What about you?
Well, we either go out or order in like once a week. And so we ordered.
I wouldn't call that indulgent necessarily.
No. Once a week? No.
No, not at all. Like, no.
Obviously it's more than you though.
Yeah. I need to go. I want to increase my number though. Do you know? Actually, okay, did you see in the news, apparently, did you tell me this? I don't know, maybe you did. They haven't said what it is, but the tuna at Subway isn't tuna, and not only is it not tuna, but it's not even fish.
So, is this confirmed?
There's a lawsuit against Subway from these people at whatever lab. And they say their tests show that, so they say, it's not tuna. And then they say, it's not fish, but they don't say what it is.
Oh my gosh. I did see that, like I saw the headlines around it a couple of weeks ago, but I was trying like not to be too quick to like, you know, believe it or judge. Spread around sure. that information just in case, you know.
Oh, I'm spreading it on our podcast now.
But honestly, I mean,
I guess I should
true.
Say allegedly.
Exactly.
Well, one thing we do know is CVC Marketplace a few years ago ran tests on Subway's chicken breast and found that it was like 50% not meat.
Well, that's
it was
why,
like 50%
like,
chicken and like 50%
nuggets.
Soy or something. Yeah.
Right. Well, that's why when like you buy chicken nuggets at, in like the frozen section of the grocery store, it says like 50%
like, protein or whatever.
Meat protein. Yeah. Or whatever.
I love nuggets. Yeah.
Oh, same.
I'm still like waiting for either Oreo or Haribo gummies to sponsor the podcast because that's like 90% of my diet.
I'm so ready for that. Someone hook us up with Oreo.
Please. And until we get hooked up, Hannah, I'd love to ask you, do you have a BS of the week?
I do. So I'm excited. I think this is going to be a fun one to talk about. You have heard of this because we did talk about this, but
Subway tuna. BS of the week.
Honestly, that could have been. But we had a request from an Instagram follower to talk about this specific diet. And I thought it would make...
Instagram follower.
Yeah, I really should have checked so I could shout you out. But I don't have
regardless,
my phone,
we're best friends. You know who you are.
You know who you are. Once I say the diet, you know who you are. I think this would be a really fun diet to talk about. It's kind of funny. It's obviously a bit scary as well. But I thought it would be a great BS of the week. So
I'm ready.
Without further ado, the BS of the week is the wine and egg diet.
Oh, yeah. Oh, this is so interesting. Do you know what it makes me think of immediately? The first thing I think of, and I know this has nothing to do with it, but it makes me think of when we were little and you did a craft where, like, you boiled an egg and then you kind of cracked the shell and then you put it in, like, water with red food coloring. And then when you leave it in there for a few minutes, take it out, take the shell off, then there's, like, it looks like a dinosaur egg, like a fossil. Like, it has, like... red, like, cracked lines all around it. That's what it makes like people, it makes me think of people dunking hard-boiled eggs into their wine and then making dinosaur eggs out of them. That's not the diet, right? Is that the diet?
It's not the diet, but it's like up there in terms of ridiculousness. Okay. So the wine and egg diet, I got most of my details about this diet from an article on Vice, written by Alexandra, I cannot say her last name. Like, it's okay. I'll spell it out for you and let me know if
it's
you
not
can.
Like Voldemort, like he who must not be named. Not that kind of thing. Like, no. You can't say her last name.
Like, I can't, like,
I'm not allowed to legally say it.
No, I can't. No, I can't pronounce it. It's BLISZCZYK.
Blissajack?
How can you have all of those?
It sounds very Eastern European, and I love it. But I really want to throw my love out there to you growing up as a kid, because that couldn't have been easy.
No,
to spell that.
So, exactly. So thank you for this wonderful article on Vice. We're going to link to it in the description because it was actually quite funny to read and informative about the wine and egg diet as well. So the wine and egg diet was published in a, I think this is kind of where it was, you know, really found. It was published in a 1977 issue of Vogue magazine, but it was published as a, specifically, and I guess as it should be, a crash diet for women. So, you know, they're not touting it as a healthy lifestyle or anything like that. But mind you, this was 1977. So, I don't think diets were masking themselves as lifestyles at that point. They were pretty chill.
People were
being
more
diets.
Obsessed with being honest. Yeah. Back
yeah.
Then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So it was published in Vogue, but where the diet actually came from was a book, I believe, called Sex and the Single Girl, The Unmarried Woman's Guide to Men. Interesting. So that book is by a writer, and she actually became an editor of Cosmopolitan magazine as well, a woman named Helen Gurley Brown. So this wine and egg diet created by writer Helen Gurley Brown, was
Amanda Rose,
in her
PhD.
Book,
yeah.
Exactly. So the diet in her book stated, you know, it was just for 2 days. And she recommended that you actually do this diet on the weekend because it makes you fuzzy.
That's good advice if you're going to be drinking.
Right. She's not, that and you're not eating anything. So you're going to be
fuzzy
loaded
for a few reasons.
And probably have
and
no
tired.
Energy at the same time. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So you can't go to work on this diet. So, but she also did promise you that you will lose 5 pounds in 2 days.
Okay. 2 days.
So here.
Okay.
Yeah. The 2 days. The 2 days you're on the diet, you lose 5 pounds.
No, sure. Yeah.
Here, let me lay out the regimen for you.
Please.
Okay. Here we go.
I'm taking notes vigorously. I'm going to do this.
Breakfast is one egg, hard boiled, and one glass of white wine. In brackets. That's
so funny.
In brackets, dry, preferably Chablis. Which, I don't know if you know what that is. Do you know what that is?
No, what's a Chablis? No.
So
is it
I
a specific
know.
Kind of grape or is it a blend?
I don't know. I didn't look that far. But from what I understand, it's a pretty fancy white wine from a specific region in France. And it is about $80 a bottle.
Oh my gosh. Okay. This is the lifestyles of the rich and famous diet.
Apparently.
Yeah.
So, And then the other thing with breakfast, black coffee. Of course, black coffee. You can't have
So you're having hot black coffee, a glass of white wine,
yes.
and a hard-boiled egg. That sounds disgusting.
That is breakfast. Yeah.
What's the order of that? How do you choose the order? I can't think of an order where any of that is good. There's no combination.
Maybe if you have like the wine first. I'm just thinking if you have the wine first, you get a little like buzz on and then it's not so bad for the rest
right.
of it. But
wine, then coffee, then egg.
Or coffee, then wine, then egg.
Yeah. Oh, none of it sounds good. But okay, no. Keep going.
Okay. Now we're moving on to lunch. So lunch is two eggs. Hard boiled is best, but poached if necessary.
Okay.
Two glasses of white wine.
Oh my God.
And black coffee. So, are you kidding me? Two glasses of wine at lunch? I had two drinks on Friday night and I was hungover on Saturday.
Yeah, I mean, I don't drink. So, I literally had a sip of champagne on Thomas's last birthday and I was like, I am out for the night. Like, my brain immediately went like headache. I couldn't even finish the glass.
I would be, if I had two glasses of wine at lunch, I would be. And I had barely eaten anything yet today. I would be loaded.
The coffee is not really going to kick you if you're also having your third glass of wine that morning.
No. Yeah. So that's lunch. And then dinner. Dinner, there's no eggs in dinner, actually. Dinner is a 5-ounce steak. Doesn't specify like the cut or anything like that. But grilled with black pepper and lemon juice. And the remainder of the white wine. So you're allowed one bottle per day. So whatever's left in the bottle.
Oh, you're finishing off the bottle. Okay.
Which is about, I think there's about 5 glasses in a bottle. So that leaves you with 2 more glasses of wine at dinner with that steak and black coffee.
Okay.
So that's a full day on the wine and egg diet. Now, I went through and I actually calculated out how many calories that would be.
Interesting.
I thought that would be interesting to look at. It sounds terribly low. So breakfast, so just to remind you, it's a one hard-boiled egg, one glass of white wine, and black coffee. That comes in at 195 calories.
Really low.
Yeah. I can't imagine. Then lunch, so your two eggs, two glasses of wine, and black coffee is 380 calories. And then dinner, I was actually kind of surprised by this. Dinner, your 5-ounce steak, about 2 glasses of wine and black coffee is 625 calories. Like steak is pretty, steak is like calorie dense.
Hearty.
Right? Yeah, which is fine. But I was surprised because when you add those three things up, you get exactly, which is kind of funny, you get exactly 1200 calories.
Oh, okay.
And 1,200 calories is like, again, we talked about this in our last episode. It's kind of like the standard like weight loss calorie tracking app number that the algorithm spits out for you. So I thought that was kind of funny. And I was surprised because I thought it was going to be a lot less than that.
Yeah, so there's like nothing in coffee, right? So immediately my mind was like, this is going to be totally low because coffee's... Mm-hmm. Like, there's no calories
like
in there.
Negligible.
You're not getting...
Maybe, like, 5 calories.
If you're having black
coffee.
I mean, if you're going to put in milk and sugar, maybe.
Yeah, yeah.
But coffee, there's nothing in there. Eggs are so small. Like, there's not much in there. I guess
there's
the steak
really
is doing
much.
A lot of the heavy lifting.
Yeah, and the wine. Like, wine,
and
there's
the
about
wine.
120 calories per glass of wine. Like, 5-ounce glass of wine.
Right.
Give or take. So, the thing I had to say about the calorie thing Actually, okay. You know what? I'm going to do a recap. I'm going to, and then I'll tell you what I was going to say.
Okay.
So,
please.
I noted down a few concerns that I have with this diet. I mean, just a few, because okay. there's just only a couple, right?
Yeah.
So my first one is, and actually, Alexandra notes this in her Vice article, that literally after the first day, she woke up with like a pain in her stomach and she was like, I knew it. I'm constipated. And so that was like my first one. It's like, there's literally no fiber. None.
Yeah.
Like eggs and steak and wine and coffee.
Oh, ooh, waking up the next morning cannot be comfortable.
Yeah, exactly. So that was my first one. Like that is a recipe for constipation and just not feeling good GI wise. So that's number one. Number two is just like how, and I guess this is why Helen Gurley Brown, one of the reasons why she says
I'm obsessed to do it on the weekend.
Helen Gurley Brown. She says it makes you fuzzy. So that could mean either like tipsy or like just exhausted because like no energy. So that was my second concern.
You can't
concern.
Move because like, you're constipated.
And you have eaten minimal calories and carbs. There's no carbs.
Right.
I mean, you'd get some carbs from the wine. But
some from the wine. Yeah.
Yeah. And then I know this is only supposed to be a 2-day diet. So there's really not a huge concern for like nutrient deficiencies, but if it was something you were to continue, hopefully not. I don't think anyone could sustain this longer than 2 days. It could put you at a risk for nutrient deficiencies, of course. And then the last one is that it's just purely disgusting. And this is what this is what I was going to say. So this might sound a little bit weird, but if you're going to eat 1200 calories, like why not eat something? I can think of a lot of different things that you can eat that are so much better. Like, I know this because I counted calories for a really long time. And for a long time, 1200 calories was like my calorie goal or limit or whatever. Yeah. So I got pretty good at like figuring out what I could eat for 1200 calories. Do you know what I mean? Which is very disordered and I do not recommend it. But like you can actually eat some fairly robust meals for 1200 calories a day.
Sure.
Like not eggs and wine. I was honestly just surprised, like just based on the amount of food, it seemed like so much less food. Like I thought it was going to be like 700 calories or something like that, you know, not
definitely
not 1200, but anyway, still very low. Don't recommend.
I think people might be saying, well, if you want to lose weight, like you have to be in a calorie deficit, but I would think that most dietitians would agree that like, yeah, but if you want to lose weight you have to be in a calorie deficit, but you also don't have to. You shouldn't be doing it at a place where, like, you're only eating 1,200 calories a day.
Yeah. It's, like, for weight loss, you do. We know, like, that's how you lose weight, is being in a calorie deficit. I would say most dietitians would say, but you also should not be eating too little calories as well, because...
Right.
It's just not sustainable, right? Like, such a small amount of food is not sustainable for many reasons. So, yeah. Anyways, that's the wine and egg diet. That's pretty so ridiculous. It's a bit entertaining and gross. Like,
yeah, I still can't think of a way where that breakfast would be enjoyable at all.
There's nothing appetizing about that at all.
It sounds like frat guy, isn't really thinking about cooking dinner, grabs like the old bottle of wine from the fridge, boils an egg. You know what I mean? Like, that's the vibe I'm getting.
I mean, I do see that, but I also do see like the like New York City like glamour girl, you know,
Vogue reader
in the 1970s, you know, I do kind of see that being like appealing to, you know, the wine. I'm not eating real food, just drinking wine. You know what I mean? Like that kind of disordered behavior. Yeah.
It's interesting that this is trending now, because it makes me think like, well, someone's been like reading this and resharing it on the internet. So
yeah, I don't know. I'll have to double check the message I got. I'm not sure if the person who found it like I don't know where they found it. If they, you know, if it was actually like blowing up on the internet or anything like that.
But right.
Regardless, I thought it was kind of interesting to.
Very interesting. To talk Thank about. You. Yeah. Yeah. What a strange, strange thing. Thank you for sharing.
Very that. Strange. Yeah. Definitely. Definitely strange. All right.
Well, fantastic. I mean, the thing that BS of the week shares in common with the main topic is that they're both full of BS, I guess I would say.
Yeah, totally. I would agree.
So our main topic for this episode is... all about what really... I mean, and we'll get into this. I think it's just a pyramid scheme. Did you have that sense?
Yeah, I grasped that kind of at the end of my research. I didn't realize it first, but then I was like, oh,
wait.
Yeah.
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 So there is this, and by the way, there is published literature on this, which there's one study in particular that I'd like to share with everybody that I read. This like weird cult-like diet / quote, dare I say, lifestyle. I don't know. Okay, technically for the listeners, I just want you to know there may be an infinite number of ways that you can actually say the name of this diet. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to say it 12 different ways throughout the course of this episode. So it's Optavia is the diet. Optavia.
Optavia, O-P-T-A-V-I-A, Optavia.
And let me tell you, maybe the wine and egg diet isn't trending, but this is trending. This is huge right now.
It is.
A lot of people are doing this. A lot of people are getting involved.
And it's not new.
No.
It's been around for a long time. It's just trending.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes, it's trending. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll just give like a very brief thing. I'd love to hear what you were looking at. So this is interesting because So you saying it's kind of an old thing makes sense because it's not really of the same ilk as the modern crash diets.
Mm.
Like the modern crash diets are like, it's an app. You count your calories. Mm-hmm. You're kind of like independently doing everything. Maybe you sign up for meal deliveries. That's kind of rare. Like there's Simply Protein and things like that. That's not like really as popular. But like the popular things are the things we've talked about, like Noom, WW, etc. But Optavia is a program that not only involves a diet plan, a diet regimen, but also involves having like a coach, like somebody who is guiding you throughout the process, which is a really sketchy situation because I can become a coach and I shouldn't be allowed to become a coach of anybody's diet, but you can sign up to be a coach of Optavia and get quote trained and then go on to amass riches, as I'm sure we'll continue to talk about.
So I read that last, like I said, like the I really kind of like looked at what the diet was or what it consists of and things like that, and then I was like, what is this coaching thing? And that was the last thing I looked at, and then I was like, oh, this is like, this is a MLM,
this is
like
weirder than I thought,
multi-level marketing pyramid scheme, whatever you want to call it. So it kind of reminds me of like, because I know there are some other ones out there that are pretty popular right now. It kind of reminds me of like Beachbody. Do you know Beachbody? It's like, it is like a, you know, a workout app, I think, or workout plan. But then it's also like you can be a Beachbody coach.
So it's like
the same thing.
What's Curves? That's like,
I don't know.
Is that the same thing?
Maybe Curves is an MLM too. I don't know.
Maybe. <Yeah.
laughs> So, and then like Arbonne. I know with Arbonne, obviously they have like makeup and skincare products as well, but they also have like wellness products. And like,
I didn't know that.
You didn't know that? We'll have to talk about it. And they don't have coaches necessarily, but like the team leaders or whatever it is in the MLMs do, like I've seen them like talk about, you know, healthy lifestyle challenges and like things like that, that they like all participate in together, with no training or like expertise whatsoever in healthy living or whatever. So anyways, what I read about Optavia, I'd heard of it before because you had mentioned it before and that it was trending, but I'd never really looked into it or heard of it other than that. So I went on their website, and their like tagline or introduction on their website is like, "We are Optavia. We help people achieve a lifelong transformation, one healthy habit at a time." Huh. And I'm like, okay, like healthy habits. I'm all about healthy habits. Sure. Okay. Like what is this? But then I keep reading, and I read about Optavia fuelings. They have these fuelings. Is a fueling? So it says on the website, our proven optimal weight 5-in-1 plan. So that is like supposedly their like most popular. They have 3 different plans, and the 5-in-1 plan is like their most popular plan. Probably because it's like the most restrictive one, and it, you know, is the one that promises the most weight loss or whatever.
Right.
So it says that plan jump starts your optimal weight journey. 5 of your daily meals are Optavia fuelings. So when I looked into the fuelings, basically they're like pre-packaged meal replacement foods. Like they're like bars or like shakes or like, you know, protein brownies or whatever, you know, things like that. And they're all things that you have to like order or like subscribe to from Optavia. And you're eating these 5 times a day. Like that's pretty much all you're eating. So on this 5-in-1 plan, it's 5 Optavia fuelings, and then one meal that you prepare yourself at home. But the meal is very specific in what it can be. It has to be a lean and green meal. So 5 to 7 ounces of protein and 3 servings of vegetables. And that's your meal. So you're having 5 Optavia fuelings. So whether that is like, I don't know, some BS like crackers or a brownie, like musty or a bar. Old
brownies.
Exactly. Yeah. Or then one of your meals is this 5 to 7 ounces of protein and 3 servings of vegetables. So what they say this plan will do is it says your body will enter a gentle but efficient fat burning state, essential for losing weight. And I'm like, what are they talking about? What
starvation
is a gentle
mode?
Fat burning state? Right. And it says each fueling contains high quality protein, which helps retain lean muscle mass, and probiotic cultures, which help support digestive health.
People are obsessed with saying that.
I know, as part of a balanced diet and healthy lifestyle. So I don't, like, what the hell is an efficient fat burning state? I saw nowhere on their website, like, a definition of, like, what that means or, like, the physiological processes happening of, like, what that efficient fat burning state is. I did read a great article about Optavia from Abby Langer Nutrition.
Okay.
Shout out. She's a dietitian. She did a great kind of breakdown of this on her website. I'll link it. And her understanding of that is that they were like almost trying to say that they like kind of put you in gentle ketosis, which is not a thing. And, you know, it's like you don't get to choose what level of ketosis your body goes
you're
into.
You're either in ketosis or you're not. Yeah.
Right. Exactly.
And you're probably not in ketosis.
And you're not, because you're eating, in order to get into ketosis, you have to be eating a very specific amount of carbohydrates and protein, like very small amounts. And you're not doing that on this diet. You're eating quite a bit of protein.
Also, I hate these crash diets always being obsessed with saying, like, with our diet, like, you're going to retain your muscle mass. We've talked about this, like, so many times. Like, this kind of crash diet literally starts, like, you start off losing water weight and you continue to lose muscle. Like,
yeah, if you're
just losing.
If you're on, like, a crash diet, you're eating so little calories and like such a small amount of food, you're going to tap into those, like into your muscle mass. You're going to burn muscle mass if you're not eating enough food. So, you know, they really kind of tout the whole like 6 small meals per day every 2 to 3 hours. That's their thing on Optavia. And I think, I don't know if that's what they mean by like healthy habits, like you're maintaining, you know, you're eating those 6 small meals, eating regularly. But the thing is like, yeah, okay, you're eating 6 small meals, but you're not actually eating any actual food other than one meal where you're eating protein and vegetables. You know, you're eating 5 like pre-packaged Optavia products. You're
space not... food, astronaut food.
Exactly, astronaut food. And like, I don't know, it just, to me, that's a bit of a red flag because they're not teaching you how to like make food choices or like, you know, balance a meal or anything like that. And I guess maybe that's why it's appealing to some people. It's like they don't have to make decisions or think about it. They just eat the fuelings or whatever.
But then what? You're fueling for the rest of your life.
Right. Yeah.
If you want to maintain this.
Yeah, exactly. So I think there's something on Optavia about like transitioning off the diet. And basically there's like a plan they have for that. Like when you've lost all the weight and it's time
another
to,
way
like,
to make
transition.
Money. Yeah.
Right. But when you transition off, they still recommend that you eat like 2 to 3 of their fuelings per day. So you're literally amazing. Like sticking with the diet for life. So, I don't know. And then the last thing I'm going to say is that it, based on like the fuelings and what like 5 to 7 ounces of protein with 3 cups of vegetables or 3 servings of vegetables would be, it's like 800 to 1,000 calories per day on this 5-in-1 program. So that is so not enough food. And we've already talked about that in the BS of the week.
How can you exercise safely like with that little energy?
Right. Again, so this is something that I'm not sure if like your coach would talk to you about, like if your coach would, you know, teach you about exercise, or I hope not because they have no qualifications, but, again, it's just not, they talk about healthy lifestyle and healthy habits, but they're not teaching you any of these things. They're not teaching you mindfulness. They're not teaching you about exercise. They're not teaching you. It's literally like buy our space food and subscribe, pay $400+ a month to eat our food, and we don't teach you anything. That's what I got from this.
Totally. Yeah, I agree. I really appreciate that summary because that's really, really good. It's just, I hope everybody is on the same page with us that like this sounds really freaky so far. And hopefully, I don't know, maybe what I will say will make it sound even freakier, unfortunately. If there's a couple articles on Optavia out there. I thought there was one that I was mostly interested in. So there's one called Randomized Control Trial. Everyone just take a break to laugh. Like, is it really gonna be? Okay. Randomized Control Trial assessing 2 commercial weight loss programs in adults with overweight or obesity. And it's from 2019, not that long ago. So, you know, one thing that they mention in the article, so they discern that weight loss, even modest weight loss, like 5 to 10%, as compared to what's like regularly advertised, you know, in the media, like dramatic weight loss, like this person lost 100 pounds, even that kind of modest weight loss, if somebody has whatever pre-existing conditions, if they're ill, that and that illness somehow is linked to their weight, then that kind of weight loss can be, you know, life-changing. So we've talked about this before where people with diabetes, type 2 diabetes, even losing 5 pounds has been shown, like there is this correlation that has been helpful before for people with diabetes, weight loss of just 5 pounds, and nothing more than that has been shown to be effective, you know, in terms of like drastically changing someone's diabetic symptoms. So I was like, okay, this is interesting. We are talking about weight loss. This is a really fraught conversation, but at least they're talking about how you know, modest weight loss can be helpful in certain circumstances. I was like, okay, interesting. You know, I mean, we know, people listening hopefully know, that you can be healthy at a larger size, you know, but at the population level, there is this correlation, you know, with diabetes, with heart conditions, and other health risks, but of course not at the individual level. Mm-hmm. So interestingly, then they go on to cite the guidelines from the American Heart Association and the American College of Cardiology and the Obesity Society in the States. And all those three apparently recommend, you know, they have different recommendations for commercially available programs that promote a, quote, comprehensive lifestyle intervention, whatever that means, for the management of overweight or obesity, and specifically only if there is peer-reviewed, published evidence of safety and efficacy. I think this is like an interesting approach, and like there's good intentions in the language, but we know from previous episodes that, you know, there's lots of published stuff about a bunch of crash diets that mm-hmm. paints them in a really positive light mm-hmm. that when you break it down, doesn't necessarily add up to anything at all.
Right.
So that it's like Noom, WW, like they, even those programs all purport to, as you mentioned too, as all purport to be very comprehensive, that WW, there's supposed to be this, like, you know, active component,
yeah,
like beyond just the food, you're supposed to be learning other things, mm-hmm. but of course they are very weight loss focused, and of course never really like modest weight loss focused, especially where like you get to choose, quote, like how fast you want to lose the weight.
Yeah,
like obviously
just...
like they're yeah
exactly. Sorry, no, keep going.
No, I was like, I totally agree with you. Yeah,
yeah.
So they compared Optivia and this other program called
you
MediFast.
Called it Optivia.
Optivia.
There we go. Here we go,
Octavia
with
Spencer.
20 different names.
Yeah. Okay, so they compared Optivia.
There we go.
And MediFast. Okay, so these are two commercial weight loss programs that have, you know, their whole shebang. Coaches, food, etc., like you mentioned. So they compared those two to a control group. What was their control group? Their control group was a self-directed reduced calorie diet. Okay. They did this for 16 weeks. So, I mean, I personally see a lot of problems with this. I know, who am I to say? But I'd love to hear your opinion. I'd love to hear what the listeners have to say. So, a self-directed reduced calorie diet, I do not think is an appropriate control in this situation. I think technically a good control would be to pair someone in the control group with, let's say, like a registered dietitian. Because the use of the other programs means that they have access to somebody who is coaching them through the program. Whether that's for better or for worse, like whether that's like for good intended purposes, like I'm kind of ignoring that right now. But the control group, as they have it in this study, is missing the component that's present in those other two programs,
right.
Which is
yeah.
that communication with somebody who's coaching you. Not only that, but the self-directed reduced calorie diet doesn't control for the fact that the other two programs allow for the purchase of pre-prepared meals. So
right.
No one is preparing your meals for you, whether they're high or low calorie, whatever, but no one's doing that work for you. So again, I think the self-directed reduced calorie diet is not a good control because it's missing two really crucial components of the other two programs.
Yeah, I agree.
So there's no like... there's no support, there's no encouragement, you know, mm-hmm. it's missing mm-hmm. The accessibility that the other two programs have. And I think they could have done that with a control group in a better
yeah.
way or in
yeah,
a different way.
Yeah, for sure. That's a good point.
I think there's a huge flaw in the design. So they say, this is a quote, consistent with the Optivia customer experience, their participants in this study were each assigned a coach and received one-on-one coaching. They had one call a day before they started the program, about 45 minutes, four calls during week one, two calls in weeks 2 to 4, and one call per week after until the end of the study at 16 weeks. And these weekly check-ins lasted, you know, around 10 minutes. And they were, you know, they discussed things like overcoming challenges. So I think there's obviously like a real flaw in choosing a self-directed reduced calorie diet to compare that to, because you're missing that whole component of somebody helping you through that process. So like, it's not like the Optavia thing was just like you sent a text like once a week. Like, it was a whole thing. Like, they had calls with coaches and everything.
Yeah.
They were talking about the program.
And on the Optavia website, that seems to be one thing that they really like emphasize about Optavia, right, and kind of hype up is like that
you get support, this one-on-one.
Yeah, support and coaching and having that someone like holding you accountable or helping you or whatever in your like weight loss journey is so crucial. And they cite research on their website around, right, like weight loss
coaching
and coaching and support. Yeah, exactly. So that seems to be really like a big component of Optavia.
Right.
Yeah.
And so the study goes on to mention, the authors mentioned that the quote, the assigned caloric restriction in the control arm was designed to reflect usual care. But usual care is not a good control for Optavia. Like, not on its own. Maybe usual care is one of the control groups, but you also need another control group that has like one-on-one coaching that's helping someone understand food in like a way that a registered dietitian who is like a healthcare practitioner would. Like, that is a good control. You know what I mean? That makes me so angry. So another thing is their main outcomes were all related to body size. You know, they were taking waist measurements, hip measurements, weighing people. But I'm more interested in other outcomes, like cardiovascular health outcomes, for example, because if you went on a diet, and by that, I don't necessarily mean crash diet, but if you changed your eating behaviors, quote, for the better, like if you were making poor decisions for your health and you started making better ones, that doesn't always, as we've talked about before, doesn't always reflect or doesn't always result in weight loss, but it can result in improved health. And improved health doesn't mean like a lower number on the scale. So there's obviously things that we can be testing for in these studies that they're not looking at. So they did measure, they had one measure that wasn't body size related. So that was HSCRP. So they were measuring for C-reactive protein. It's a test that can be used to evaluate. It's basically a test of inflammation, and clinicians use it as a proxy for heart health, because when you have, let's say, like clogged arteries, your system is an inflammation. So, you know, a marker of inflammation would suggest that maybe you have some heart disease, or that you may be at risk for a heart attack. But you could also just have inflammation because you're sick, or you could have inflammation because of some other problem in your body that has nothing to do with your heart. And C-reactive protein measures are one of those measures that like can vary from hour to hour, like morning to night, day to day. Taking these measures like at every other, like every so odd week or every several week is not a good enough measure. Like, I don't think this is a robust enough measure, like that this was even worthwhile what they did. So because this is not definitive, I think it's another problem. They didn't even measure things like cholesterol, for example, like something just like another easy measure that they could have compared so that it would have been more helpful to assess something like risk of heart attack. And guess what? Either way, there was no difference between any of the groups, the control group, the Optavia group, or the Medifast group. There was no difference in their C-reactive protein.
Okay.
So again, I think it was kind of useless.
Yeah.
So I think one big problem is that they're trying to encourage this whole like use of a comprehensive lifestyle intervention that has like, quote, published evidence of safety, efficacy. But again, they're resorting to this self-directed reduced calorie diet as a control. So again, all of this, like beyond it being about control, again, it's not focusing on the fact that health is such a, like, there's so many other things that go into health, like your sleep, beyond your eating behavior, your exercise, etc., that they're not touching on at all.
Right. And to me, like, that's comprehensive.
Exactly.
Right? Like, comprehensive is, like, addressing stress, sleep, exercise, you know, mental health, all, you know, all of those things in addition to diet and whatever. Not just diet and, like, having a coach. You know? Like, and so, I don't see Optavia as a comprehensive lifestyle. Like, I wouldn't consider it a comprehensive lifestyle intervention based on what we've looked at. Like, it's, how is that comprehensive? They're not teaching you anything. They're not, like, they're not teaching you how to make, like, decisions around food. That's comprehensive. They're not teaching you about, like, mindful eating decisions and listening to your body and flexibility and, no actual education around nutrition. It's just handing you prepackaged meals and, like, supporting you in eating them. Like, being like, you can do it. Exactly. Stick with it. Like, I don't know. I don't see that as
I mean, to your point, exactly, they mentioned in the article that exercise was encouraged under Optavia, but it's not required. So you don't actually, you're not mandated to exercise under the program. And they even put a cap on how much you can exercise because the calorie deficit is so dramatic.
Right. Yeah. That's bullshit.
Oh, totally. It's just like, it's obviously then unhealthy. Like, if you're doing something where, like, you're basically told, like, you actually can't move while you do this because your body has no energy, like, that's probably not a good idea.
Red flag. Yeah.
And again, beyond all of that, they again avoid the topic of sustainability. So,
of course,
they only go up to 16 weeks with all of these things. There's nothing to show that Optavia provides any difference, like, years later, or like whether or not there's like a binge and restrict cycle. You know what I mean? They don't talk about all that.
And like, well, what are the chances that when you go off Optavia, you're going to maintain that weight loss? It's not great because, again, I'm coming back to this, but like, you have no education or ability to maintain a healthy lifestyle because you weren't actually following one. You were just like eating what you were prescribed and sent in the mail. You know what I mean? So you have nothing to like carry with you past being on the diet.
Totally. I would love, you know, I'd love to look online to see if anybody's leaked some of the like training manuals, like what the coaches get to tell their clients. By the way, like if you look it up, like anybody who's listening who's curious, if you look it up and you go to the coaching section of the website, there's literally a whole PDF document about like, this is how much money you can make, like you get this percentage, like you can climb up the ranks as like a coach, become an associate member of Optavia, like etc., like you get more money, like if you get more clients in this amount of time. It's an MLM.
Yeah.
Hardcore.
Yeah, which is...
So this was all like, none of this, you know, it's just sad like that, obviously like they're creating the capacity by publishing stuff like this to be able to say like, oh, there's scientific evidence that this works.
I know.
But compared to what and how well?
Right.
Yeah, to nothing and very badly. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, you're right. It's when you're on the website for diets like these, it always says like our science-backed method or our, you know, evidence-based research method or whatever.
You really can publish anything.
You seriously can. And that's scary.
Yeah.
So Optavia, don't recommend.
Yeah.
I don't know if we'll ever get, well, I mean, we don't, we're not.
If we'll ever love a crash diet.
Yeah. You know, if it's a diet, we don't recommend it. You probably know that by now. But anyways, that was very interesting, very eye-opening. Okay, let's close that off with, I actually have a list of some of the products. Some of the Optavia.
This makes me want to do a YouTube video where I don't drink, but like drink wine and eat eggs with you.
That would be hilarious if we like tried the wine and egg diet.
I get non-alcoholic wine. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Okay. So here are some of the. And some of them, like, they could sound good, but then, like, picture them in, like, a dusty little package coming in the mail. You know, not fresh out of the oven. So there
it's
is
like a Big Brother, like, a Big Brother, like, when you lose a competition, you have to eat, like, slop. Like, that's what I'm picturing.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. Okay, so there is honey, mustard, and onion sticks.
What? Sticks? Like pretzels?
I don't know. Probably. A frosted cookie dough bar.
No.
Red berry crunchy O's cereal.
I can taste that like fake artificial sweetener. You know what I mean?
Yes. Yes.
I can taste that.
Zesty cheddar and Italian herb crunchers.
Crunchers.
Like crackers, that, like, I guess?
I can't tell what kind of food any of those things are. It's so vague.
It is so vague. Caramel Delight Crisp Bar. Like, that just sounds like a diet product right there.
Totally. I love
if you like, have to call it delight.
That, like, they're using words that are like really, yeah, it's like really... They're putting them in themselves in a box. You know what I mean? They're painting themselves into a corner.
Yeah, exactly. So that's just to give you an idea of what... Like, those are your meals. Like, that's what you would eat at a meal, is a zesty lemon crisp bar.
Wow. Crunchers. Yeah. For lunch. That. I've never heard a word of a food described as crunchers. That's okay. A whole new category.
Would you rather eat... Would you rather eat a Caramel Delight crisp bar for lunch or two hard-boiled eggs and two glasses of wine?
Okay. I actually think it's easy. I'd probably have the eggs and wine. That sounds like a more of a complete meal than the delight.
I think I'd have more fun.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Flip through a Vogue while we're doing it.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. All right, well... Thanks for listening, guys. I have one last question. Yeah. I haven't actually asked any questions this episode, but... Tarek, what's been tasty for you this week?
Interesting question. Thank you so much for asking. What has been tasty for me this week... Okay, I had something that I wanted to say was tasty for me. You know, it was like, I was building it up in my head, like the pistachio cake. Real ones will remember. real fans will remember. But it didn't pan out. So I was kind of at a loss.
Well, now you have to tell us what it was.
Okay, so I tried to make yellow cake, but yellow cake, this specific recipe, The rise came from whipping air into the eggs in the batter, but I opened the oven halfway through to check on them like a moron, and then they deflated, obviously.
Yeah.
So I have like two really thick, like gross texture cakes. But I will say another actual tasty in like a weird way. So I've been having trouble sleeping, so I got some melatonin, and. Melatonin for people do this all the time. They like take melatonin for like weeks and weeks and weeks. Melatonin drastically goes down in its efficacy if you continue to take it for longer periods at a time. Please consult your physician if you want to keep taking it. Like, this is not something that you can just like take for months on end. It will stop working and you'll be like wasting money uselessly taking melatonin because your body adapts to the intake. So please go talk to your doctor. So I got some melatonin and I was going to get like whatever, like basic tablets, but then I like looked over on the shelf, there were gummies. I was like, I could pay a dollar more for gummies. And it's fun. It's like this little like raspberry treat at the end of the day. And that's my, is that a weird tasty? That's my tasty.
Your melatonin gummies. I will say that is a little bit sad, but you know what? I bet they're delicious.
I want to have a better one, but I kind of don't right now. Okay, maybe I'll have a better one next week. Hannah, I need to live vicariously through you. What's been your tasty this week? And don't make it a medicine, okay? But you say banana medicine. That's your tasty this week.
I love banana medicine. Okay. My tasty this week, I was actually like running through a few, like I was like, should I do a food? Should I do like a thing that happened in my life?
Oh, yeah.
Or what should I do?
What's happening?
But then I remembered that on Saturday, you know, in the adventures of Hannah and Pat in Moncton, we were out and about and we stopped at a local restaurant. It's actually, I think, a French restaurant as well. But they also have a little bakery.
Trend alert.
I know, but we didn't.
French cuisine.
It wasn't a meal. We just went to their bakery and picked some things up.
Okay. It wasn't a fueling. You didn't do a fueling from the bakery.
No, it wasn't a fueling. It was an actual hazelnut croissant.
Oh, delight. Okay.
A hazelnut croissant delight. Yeah. No, but we had this really, we got a hazelnut croissant. And it was so good. It was like obviously Nutella divine. And like just like think about just like it was just such a good quality croissant, you know, so like buttery and like almost like crunchy on the outside, but buttery on the inside, the best. Yeah. It was delicious.
That sounds amazing. I'm super happy for you. Did you send a picture of that in the family group?
I put it on my Instagram story. Maybe that's where I saw it. Yeah.
Because I definitely saw it somewhere. That sounds deliciones. And see, this is the bad thing because it puts ideas into my head that I'm going to be like, should I make croissants this week? But then something will go wrong. My oven will act up or something. Or I'm a terrible baker and nothing will work. And no.
That happened to me once. Will.
I don't know.
You should do it. Have you ever made croissants?
I have. My oven is just so wacky, does its own thing, like is just like living its own life, like, you know what I mean?
Anyway, I know what you mean. Whatever. It's rebellious.
Yeah. It's rebellious.
Yeah. Well, I have nothing to say. Love you.
Love you. Bye. Please subscribe. Leave us a 5-star rating. Tell us what you like about the pod. Send us some suggestions. You know, it's almost the end of a season, so, you know, let's get our FaceTime in now.
Yep.
Yeah, and we'll see you at the next one.
All right, bye.
Bye.